Blog Talk Radio.
What's the happening, folks? 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this spooky Halloween night. Unfortunately for you tonight, I do not have a Halloween special. I have something much more important to you tonight. And tonight we will be talking with a young lady who is up in North Dakota and is on the front lines in the Standing Rock Reservation, fighting the Dakota Access Pipeline. Folks, this is highly important as it is major, major, major government overreach occurring across this country. This is just another case. And this one is, it's going to blow your mind. You're not going to believe what you're going to hear. The truth, uncensored and raw from the front lines. What it's really like to be standing out there. What it's really like to be maced. And all of these things that are going on out there by these tyrants that don't understand that I was following orders will not be a defense when the time comes for them to face justice. I was following orders is not a defense. Folks, we're going to get right into this. Live from Standing Rock, Selena Manson will join us here in just about 3 minutes and 30 seconds. I got to cover some of these ads and we'll rock the house. Here we go. Back right after.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
Let me get a unit to FDR on 112. Shots fired.
Pass off! And a
at DaveBrayUSA.com. Definitely want to check the video out. I worked with an organization called LESMA. It's a media watchdog for police officers when officers and law enforcement are being misrepresented in social media and all these different causes that are out there, you know, sort of pushing the blame. You know, they go out and they break laws for no reason just to prove that the cops, A, have to be police. They don't choose the laws they uphold. They uphold the laws because that's their job. Whether they're passive laws or aggressive laws, they go out and break them for the reason of to get a police response, which is just wasting taxpayer dollars, and I wish people would see that. These cops are putting themselves in harm's way on a daily basis. When your dad's a police officer and he goes to work, he straps on a gun and a badge. But these people are going into harm's way, you know. And it's an honorable job. It's one of the hardest jobs, and it takes a special person. And I think in this day and age, you know, we should be rallying behind them. But this song, Last Call, is about a fallen officer sort of giving his last sort of will and testament over the radio after he's been in a gunfight and he's hit and he's pinned down and he's not going to make it. And he just sort of gives his words.
I'm bleeding now. There's no time.
Stand by for a special announcement. Emergency traffic only.
11:45. Prince William calling, 11:45. This is the final call for 11:45. Officer Ashley Gwinden, end of watch, February 27, 2016. May you rest in peace.
Visit TrueTexasPatriotGear.com. Buy this gear to support efforts by like-minded patriots in Texas who met at the first Stand By Me for Liberty rally. The group is lending their time and efforts to help political prisoners to let them know they are not being forgotten. Visit TrueTexasPatriotGear.com and buy some gear and show your patriotic support for those who are standing for liberty.
Was free. So, brother, I ask you, are you going to stand by me?
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
There you have it, folks. Make sure you go over to cleverpreppers.com, social network, for those of you who want to be on board and be in a group of people who are like-minded, preparing for anything. Natural disaster, man-made disaster, or tyranny, oppression, and violence against the people at the hands of the federal government. Prepare, folks, for anything. That's what I'm trying to say here. That's cleverpreppers.com. Of course, DaveBrayUSA.com. Check them out. I got one more little thing here from my good friend, Pastor Sylvester Bland. Got a new campaign out. I'm just scrolling through my board here. I want to find it. And I want to play it for you. It's approximately 60 seconds long. If I can find it, I will play it here. I got about 20 seconds, and I will not play it. It's hard to find. We got so many things on the board. I got to scroll till I find it. But, folks, things are pretty hairy up there in North Dakota as the government continues to oppress, use violence, you know, mace, rubber bullets, sound cannons, all this kind of stuff's going on up there. It's just unbelievable what's really happening on American soil. And I see in video after video after video these guys saying, look, man, you guys took an oath to the Constitution and you're standing there oppressing us, violating your constitutional rights. Why would they violate their constitutional oaths for big oil? Do you think that these people up here in North Dakota, the government and the officials that are oppressing the people and using violence, have the money and the wherewithal to continue with this much presence as law enforcement? Or is big oil funding these guys so they can attack pregnant women with dogs and shoot pepper spray in the face of children? This is a travesty, folks. Whether you're on board, you think they need the pipeline up there or you don't. That's really not the point here. What the point is the violence and the sacred land, the burial grounds of people. I've been saying this now. And, Selena, I'll bring you on in a second. You're on. Your mic's hot, but I'll bring you in one second. I just want to say this. I've been telling folks that are like, well, we need that pipeline because we need oil. We got to become energy independent. Yes, we need to be energy independent. We need oil because everything we know runs on oil. But, God, there's other ways to run that oil to where it's got to go. But I've been telling folks like this. You live in suburbia. You know, you live in a nice place here. You got a nice house on a quarter acre lot. Graveyard where your mom and dad and grandma and grandpa, maybe a long-lost cousin, are buried. And you don't even get told, all of a sudden you see construction. And they start plowing through the graveyard where your grandparents and your parents are buried. Is that the only time you'll stand up and defend burial grounds, is when they're coming for your stuff? Or does it not matter? Other people's sacred land and lives and property and right to liberty and be free. I don't know, folks, that the ancestors that the bulldozers are rolling over their grave sites is a travesty in any nationality, race, community, whatever the case may be. You cannot do this, especially those who are martyred, dying in war and battle. Whether you agree or disagree, it is wrong to do that. Selena, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hello, good evening.
Why don't you introduce yourself a little bit and tell the folks who we have on the line, maybe your ancestral background and stuff, and we can go on and tell the folks what's really happening to the people at the hands of this tyrannical government.
Yes, my name is Selena Manson, and my ancestry is from is indigenous to Mexico. My grandparents are Buribecha, Chichimeca, Waribica, which is Huichol, and also I have a grandfather that is from England, and he's English and French.
Right. Excellent.
And I'm from Southern California, and I got into Native American activism about 15 years ago. My mentor was a woman who was an Apache PhD at the University of California in Santa Barbara, and the praxis that she didn't create, but that she was teaching was decolonizing methodologies, and basically just helps us to, even from locally to internationally, look at the way that stories are told and the way that history is written, and learning how to right. decolonize that and how to, you know, take that apart. And so for a long time I've been involved in, you know, my son's father's family is also Native, and they were a part of the American Indian movement. And so for some time now I've been, you know, researching and looking into the condition of what's happening here on Turtle Island with the ancestors here. And I'm also a very spiritual person, so I follow what the guidance that I receive from my own ancestors and from the ancestors of this land, and just kind of paying attention to how we are treating the earth and also the people of this land. And it's kind of one of the things that's on the forefront of my tongue, usually in my communication and in my community, always trying to speak up for the land and for the people that are indigenous to wherever I may be at the time.
Right. And I believe in the cause of the indigenous people. I cannot believe the history that we have, and now we're like trying to repeat it, I guess, with what these people are doing out here to your people and the Native Americans, trying to steal the land, and in the name of Big Oil. Do you believe that maybe those guys out there are being funded by Big Oil?
Oh, there's no question. There's no question. From all the evidence that we've been documenting since there's many different Native media that I am supporting and also just paying attention to. And, yeah, without any question, when you have police officers who are not only highly militarized but who are no longer not showing their badge number or giving their name, it starts to change the way that things are going. And so basically – what you have here is a collective police force that's putting out calls to like 10 different states to call in other police agencies under what I guess is called EMAC, this emergency policy. But it's actually created to call in people from different states because of like natural disasters. Well, they're using this EMAC policy to call in all these other officers into this area to protect the oil company, basically. And they're doing it without, you know, without even going by normal standards, which are even just disclosing who each individual officer are. None of them are wearing badges. None of them are giving us their information on who they are.
Right. And this seems to be the MO, because there is another case that is in some ways closely related to this case. It happened out in Oregon. And the FBI agents and other law enforcement were walking around with no identification tags on them so that nobody could pinpoint them in court or whatever the case may be. And when the FBI murdered Lavoie Finicum out there in the snowbank, they swore that there was no body cams. And I don't know if there's body cameras up there at Standing Rock right now on the law enforcement officers, but I can clearly see in the video when the FBI at the roadblock is closing in on Lavoie Finicum, you can clearly see helmet cams on a couple of these guys in military regalia. And they're abusing people all over the place. And I'm going to bring in real fast another gentleman. He's with us. He has a little firsthand information on that. BJ, what's happening? Welcome to the show. Say hello to Selena.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me here. Hello, Selena. How are you this evening?
Good. Thanks for being here.
Absolutely.
And the reason I brought BJ on is he's all the way out there on the West Coast, and we want this to get out. And he's got I'm sure his people are tuning in. We want everything to get out. We want people to understand that this struggle for our country is affecting everybody. That's why we have Black Lives Matter. That's why we have Standing Rock. This is why we had Malheur Wildlife Refuge and the Bundy Ranch. Because the tyranny and the oppression is affecting everybody. They are attacking. I don't know if you're aware, Selena, of what happened out in Oregon, but recently these guys were found not guilty. And when they were found not guilty, they immediately detained two of the members that were there immediately. And when their lawyer stood up, eight marshals tackled him to the ground and tased him in the courtroom. Unbelievable stuff happening. This is happening all across the country. Am I correct on that, BJ?
You hit the nail on the head right there. They had no documentation. They had no warrants to keep Ammon and Ryan Bundy. The lawyer was trying to bring that to the attention of the judge. And in the process, they tackled Mr. Mumford, who is he's not a big man by any means. Definitely not a big man. He's probably 5'5", maybe 170 pounds. And eight of them tackled him and proceeded to beat on him and tase him. And they also, what's left out of that is David Fry, who was found innocent as well of any wrongdoing, was for an additional 6 hours after he was found not guilty. He tried to leave the courtroom. They tackled him, hogtied him in chains, and hauled him out of the courtroom. A man found not guilty.
He found not guilty and beaten. Now, these abuses are widespread. Selena, being out there on the front lines, you're seeing firsthand the abuse that is being facilitated on the people. What have you seen as far as the violence from the federal government?
Well, just this Thursday was probably one of the most horrific incidences that I've seen in my entire life. You have a group of people who are in Sweat Lodge who were pulled out of their Sweat Lodge. And one of the guys, I just spoke with him last night, we interviewed him, and he was, they put the zip ties around him so tight that it was cutting into his skin. And also they have elders that are praying with their chinupas, their pipe ceremony. All of those people were arrested. You know, they're shooting live rounds at some of the guys that were on the horse were on horses. Two of the horses were shot and were you know, one of them, they actually had to put him down. He wasn't instantly killed, but we lost two horses the other day on Thursday. And they're shooting the beanbag rounds. They have the LRAD technology. I'm not sure what the technology is called, that where it's like a microwave, that they're shooting microwaves at people, so they are feeling really hot and really disoriented. You know, it's just the level of militarization that was used on the people. In the midst of the day before that, there was a report that Obama was going to come send some aides to North Dakota to negotiate with the tribe and stop the pipeline. So there's a whole storyline, a whole narrative that's going on with Obama basically saying that he's going to back up, you know, halt the pipeline to begin with, which construction was never halted. There's documentation here by the native media that's here to show that they never stopped, you know, working on the pipeline. And they're now where we were just at, where we were removed, they're now working there now. And they had snipers out there. There was a man that was a DAPL mercenary, hired gun, that was riding around in the truck dressed up as a water protector, riding around in his truck with a shotgun chasing some of the media, and was actually stopped by another car of protectors who were, you know, seeing what was going on, ran him kind of off the road into a ravine. He gets off out of his car, shoots a round off into the ground, and basically is running into the water, actually for the water to protect him, and strangely enough. And then the police come, and I guess the BIA ended up taking him into custody, but at the end of the day, they called him the victim in the situation. So it was just one of unbelievable things that we saw out here that day. And, you know, even just in, you know, the officers are telling us, oh, don't worry about your cars here. Everyone get out of here. We won't, you know, take your belongings. You can come get your vehicles. We won't tow them. Just every single bit of information that they give us is none of it is true, because there was over 100 cars impounded. People trying to go back and get their belongings from the site are not allowed to go over there and get them. And basically now they're working back on the pipeline, and they're within 2 miles of the Missouri River at this time.
Right. Now, there was some good news on the front of the impounded cars and some of those folks that were arrested. What happened there today? I know you got your car out.
Yeah, well, there has been a legal fund, and they have been bailing people out that have been, you know, arrested. And today there was also a philanthropist that donated about $50,000 to help those who were arrested, and as well as the 100 cars that were impounded. They were charging us over $700 to get our cars out of the impound, which is just insane. This is Ace Towing out of Bismarck is, they're making a whole lot of money on this deal. And it just seems as though basically what we're seeing so clearly is the corporate greed and corporate entities are basically running this country. And that's one of the beautiful things that's coming out of this travesty and part of the beauty and the chaos is that for those people who don't believe in what's going on, it's becoming blatantly clear what's going on in this country. That's the one thing that we can look to and say that this is the positive thing is that Native people have dealt with these type of issues on reservations for years, for decades, you know, and now other people are, this is not, you know, in Wounded Knee, there was, you know, militarization on both sides. There's absolutely, I mean, I was just reading the North Dakota paper yesterday and saying that there was a gun here, that a water protector had a gun and shot up around, and that's why they came into camp. All of these stories are completely heinous. There's absolutely nobody here with weapons. There's no weapons allowed on camp.
Now, you saw that this guy was driving around in his truck with a shotgun dressed as a water protector. Now, it flipped back now out to Oregon. And Chris Bryles was the fire chief out there in Oregon. These are the tactics, folks. The reason I'm saying this is the MO is almost identical. They're doing the same types of stuff. When law enforcement gets involved, they are going to do whatever it takes to achieve their goal, even if it's lie, cheat, steal, and kill. And out there in Oregon, I believe it was in Burns, Oregon, I'm not sure exactly what town it is, where he was the fire chief. But he had heard, well, you know, they got these militia guys walking around town with their guns. So he decided, you know, I'm the fire chief and I'm part of this community. I'm going to go over there and confront those guys. So he got in his vehicle and he drove over and he said, hey, you guys, what are you doing over here? You know, and he starts questioning them. And then while they're talking, it turns out that they're a couple FBI guys going around as militia people, harassing the townfolk, trying to give a bad name to the patriots that are over there trying to make a constitutional stand as far as 1817, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 of the United States Constitution about how much land the government can own. And this was very prevalent throughout the whole standoff in Oregon. And Chris Bryles resigned his position as the fire chief or fire commissioner in that area, stating he cannot work for a government that is corrupt like this. And he stepped down and told the people of his town, I'm here for the people of this town. If you need any advice from me pertaining to fire safety, fire prevention, you call me, I'll help you. But I'll do it on my dime. I'm not working for this corruption no more. So as you see, these two cases run parallel. All the same things are happening. They're abusing people. Now, these guys who were in jail, they just got out and were detained and brought back to Nevada for another case of patriotism and abuse by the federal government. They were found not guilty, and I forgot what my point was going to be here. I hate when I get off my track. But anyway, these two cases are running parallel, and the abuses and the MO of the federal government are identical. And I think somehow, some way, we got to get these folks to unite. And because I hear things like now the United Nations is thinking about coming up to help the Native Americans up there in Standing Rock. And for me, I believe that this can be handled by the people of this country and that the United Nations should keep their blue hats and their militarized equipment off our land, stay the heck out of the way, and let the people handle it. Because if you need assistance up there, there are many, many Americans that will, at the drop of a hat.
Well, they're not here, though. But they're not here. The Americans are not here. Apparently, this has become somewhat titled as a Native American issue, when basically not only do 26 million people get the water from the Missouri River, but this is the water that's going into the grain belt. So basically, if you eat food in this country, this is your issue. The problem is that there's somehow debate about whether or not this is going to leak. What we're watching over the past week, there's been numerous pipe leaks just in the past week. And so the thing is about when there's micro leaks are very difficult to detect, but what they're finding in these areas is that people who live near there, who are pregnant women, are having, you know, low birth rates or having birth defects that are in and around these areas where these pipelines are coming through. So there's a lot of talk about, oh, is this, you know, pipeline going to leak or not? But the thing is that detecting micro leaks is practically impossible. And not only that, but, you know, most of these companies, they wait until, you know, there is a leak or there is a break for them to do any maintenance, because it costs more money for them to do maintenance than for them to just let it leak out. And what happens is there was actually, I believe, I forget what agency asked the federal government how many leaks have been going on in the country and how many have been disclosed. And there was over like 750 different oil leaks that happened that were not disclosed to the public. There was only one that was disclosed to the public, and it was a truck that had crashed and leaked oil. But they're not, even if there was a pipe leak, they're not reporting it to the people who this is going to affect. So there's right. all this documentation when you follow the chain of things that are going on. And I want to go back to what we were talking about the man who came, who was the hired person from DAPL. We're not just saying that and suggesting that. The water protectors went into his glove
compartment
and found the DAPL insurance certificate in his car. So, you know, DAPL is sending also people into the camp. There's plenty of people that are going in and infiltrating, stealing very important winter gear from camp. And just there's so many things that we can tell you that are going on over here. It's just unbelievable. It's unbelievable how mainstream media is not covering the story overall, and how we're looking to protect the corporate interests rather than you know, we're trying to push for more sustainable solar and electric and wind. But when are we going to actually start signing up for that? You know, this is not just a Native American issue. The Native Americans are the ones who are strong enough to actually be out here and deal with the cold. It's freezing out here. But they're all coming together. There's 500 Native nations that are coming together from around the world to stand up and say, this is our issue. This is our issue right now. And come stand with us. But I have to disagree with you on the UN not being necessary. We absolutely need the UN to get involved, because it's not happening. I'm out here on the front lines. I'm out here, and there should be. You look all over Facebook, and it's trending now. A million people are talking about the water protectors, talking about the DAPL pipeline and Standing Rock, but they're not out here. We need them out here. If they were going to be out here, I mean, then we could say, oh, maybe we don't need that. But they're not here. You know, and maybe they can't be for whatever reason. And I'm not, you know, making any judgments about that. But if we had a million people standing out here with us, that would be a different story. We only have maybe a few hundred at this moment, or, you know, maybe less than 1,000 or so at this time. So we really do need actual people to be out here. And if they can't be out here, then we do need the UN and other places, because there's the inhumane treatment. When people were taken to jail, they were put in dog kennels in the basement of the Mandan Police Department. They were written on their arms like they were in a concentration camp. They were only talked about as if they were a number. They were not given their Miranda rights. They were not allowed to make phone calls for, you know, way after until they were processed. We're talking about like a day or maybe two later for some people in some cases. So, I mean, just the level of the atrocity of human rights that's being breached here is a travesty, and it needs to be talked about.
Yep. I'm going to tell you one thing, what I think. If the United Nations rolls in there, you're going to have plenty of visitors. Because a lot of people in this country don't want the United Nations and their military on our soil for any reason. But well, you heard it here, folks. They want people to come up there and stand. So if you can go to North Dakota and stand with these folks, please do. BJ, what is the networks out there and the groups saying about this when you talk about it with them guys, with the people that you hang out with?
So we definitely see the abuses that are taking place. We're watching closely. We're getting some feedback, though. I will tell you that, and maybe you can help clear some of this stuff up. Got a good friend out there. She stood with us in Montana. She stood with us in Burns, Roxanne Hall. And she reported this morning that she's leaving because of the way that she's being treated. The way that the natives are treating her and the way that the Black Lives Matter groups that are out there are treating her. So she's leaving. She's feeling that it's a very angry mob and that the white people aren't wanted. So if you can dispel that, that would be great. You know, if we can get through that, you know, when that's being reported back to the large groups, you know, obviously that's going to keep trying to understand. It's very noble. It's very noble to stand there and take the abuse from these agencies that are issuing out the abuse. But at some point, enough is enough. And I understand that, you know, the natives have gone through this before with Wounded Knee and so on and so forth. But at what point do you fight back? That's the big question that we have out west is we're not willing to stand there and take the abuse. And sounds like that's what is wanted. And so if you can talk about those two couple of things, try to open some clarity on it, that would be really helpful to especially the people out here in Oregon.
Sure. So your question is, there was one lady who had one particular experience, and we're going to use it as a blanket approach, because I think that takes I think you have to have a little bit more of a critical perspective and a critical mind to understand that whenever we use race, like we use racial statements to say that one thing is true, it's never true. Like if I say, oh, all white people like hamburgers, that's not true. You know, it doesn't hold weight. So one person had a particular experience. We don't know how she was behaving. We don't know. Maybe she was frustrated. Maybe she didn't, you know, we don't know what her experience was. There's a lot of different camps out here. There's a lot of different tribes out here, and there's a lot of different people taking different approaches. And it's a very frustrating situation in a lot of different ways. When you're in the front lines and you're dealing with the militarization and you're dealing with, I mean, there was a woman out there that was already at an incident last week when they took over and created the front lines camp. Her arm was broken because a cop hit her with one of his batons. The same cop saw this young lady last week on Thursday, and he went over to her and he twisted her arm. He twisted her broken arm. So
yeah,
you have a lot of these young. You have a lot of these young protectors out here who come from different tribes and who've dealt with racism their entire life. Their family lines are built on racism. They're dealing with a lot of wounds here. Because our country doesn't deal with Native people or Indigenous people in a responsible way, this is what happens when you have people who are trying to – you also have infiltrators that are coming in who look like they're really nice people, they're non-Native possibly, and they're coming in and they're causing a lot of problems. They're being agitators. They're bringing a lot of different other agendas in here. So you do have people that are trying to protect themselves. So, you know, if you've never been on a reservation or you've never dealt with any Native people at all, and this is the first time coming to the table, you know, not everyone's going to be able to have the wherewithal to deal with that. But I can't say that all Native people are the same way. That would be like a, you know, a generalization that I have enough responsibility and wisdom in the way that I express myself would not make. So I think that we have to be careful about when we make these irresponsible statements and say one person had this experience and so all the people are like that. I find that to be really irresponsible, and it doesn't represent anything about what's going on. There was a Native Youth Council. The Native Youth Council, who's a bunch of youth, were the ones that started this movement. They're the ones that went to Standing Rock and they ran all the way to Washington, D.C., and they created this movement. And I don't believe if you were to deal with any of the Native youth, you're going to be scared of them. You also have other people that come from other reservations that have a different perspective, and they're, you know, like I can't speak for every single group of people that is here, but you know, there's a lot of confusion in being here in terms of how to be available to the group. There are some people that come here, and they want to start calling shots, and they want to start saying, oh, you guys should organize this way, you should organize that way. Well, we're listening to our elders. We're listening to the elders here of this land who are doing things and meeting in council and doing things a particular way. So we all have to work together, and it's a different, you know, you heard of Indian time. Sometimes things happen in a little bit of different time frame than some Western people are used to. And so I don't know what that woman's experience is, but I can't really speak to that because I believe there's more information there than just her opinion of her experience. And so, you know, I do think that non-Native people do need to join this movement, and are it is really for them to come and step in at this time. And maybe it is the white American karma to learn what it is that their ancestors have been contributing to for hundreds of years. And maybe they are not responsible, but maybe they have to come over here and deal with it a little bit, because it hasn't been dealt with. And that's why we're running into this, you know, kind of situations. You know, it's like there's been a lot of things that Native American people and indigenous people around the world have been needing help from the more comfortable elite group for years, for so many years. And it's undeniable. So, you know, to come into it now, you know, you have a lot of people dealing with all types of different socioeconomic issues from different reservations and different places, and there's a lot of woundedness. There's a lot of woundedness. When you're dealing with people who have been systematically abused, you know, and we go into what the history is for Native people here. We're talking about reservation systems as another glamorized way of concentration camps. Hitler created his concentration camps based on what he saw in the United States, okay? And he's demonized throughout history. He only killed 6 million people, okay? But in the United States, 100 million people were killed here. They say 19 million is a conservative estimate. And so we have to really start looking at where we are at in the timeline of what has really occurred, and decolonize the way that we approach history, and decolonize and humble ourselves when we come into communities like this. Because you know what? If we're going to come out here and help, we have to understand that it's not going to be easy. And, you know, we have to really have that fortitude and that compassion to come out here and help.
Yes, and it's very, very difficult, and I understand exactly what you're saying, and that does clarify a lot for me. It must be hard to trust a group of people whose ancestry's history has been that of abuse and murder and land grabs of the Native American people. But there are many, many of us out here who want to help, who think that this is an injustice, and who want to be accepted and allowed to help without any kind of, you know, you can understand with the way things are in the media today, it only takes one story of a person who feels like they're uncomfortable and wants to leave, and then there might be a media story here, a media story there, twist the words a little bit this way, twist the words a little bit that way, and now it's a whole different narrative.
Because there's even just yesterday there was a news story that said on CNN that not all the Native people on Standing Rock tribe want to stop the pipeline. And so it's kind of like finally CNN is telling the story, and that's the story that they're going to tell, is how to break down the movement. You know, I'm Native, but I have light skin. I have to humble myself. I have to humble myself because other people, they think that maybe I'm non-Native, and it's not even a matter of Native or non-Native. But, you know, we can't take these things personally. We just have to understand and understand the situation.
And I wouldn't think it would be out of the realm of the possibility to not intermingle the camps, but have unified camps on the front line, and everybody go back to their camps where the Native Americans can do their traditions and their prayers in the way they like to do it. And the non-natives can go to their camp and pray and do the things that they like to do. And when they wake up in the morning, they all go to the front line and confront these clowns that are abusing an American people. Whether you like it or not, folks, the Native Americans are more American than us.
They have that set up now. They have the Ogallala camp. They have the Cheyenne camp. Even with the Native people, they kind of go and support each other in their groups. It's not, you know, and today when I went to go get my car out of the impound, most of the people that I went there with that were also arrested were non-Native. There are a lot of non-Native people out here helping a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they just have a different kind of experience or they just have a different kind of heart, but they get it. And they're, you know, and it can become a little complicated sometimes in different situations, but you can't hold on to, you know, we kind of just keep greasing the machine. There's things that are coming together. There's always going to be a little bit of, we have a lot of community here from all over the world. It's not going to be perfect. You know, there's no way for this camp to organize itself in the same speed as what is going on. This has never happened before. What's happening is historic. And I think we have, when people start to point out these other little things, I kind of wonder what their intentions are overall and what their belief system is. Because for me, I think that when you're really focused on what's going on, you're not going to point at those stories. We already understand that there's going to be You know, it's kind of like bringing a bunch of kids together and they have a fight in kindergarten. It's like there's always going to be somebody that's not going to get along, but that's not the story that needs to be told here. The story that needs to be told is that there's finally people who are sitting up and standing up against these corporations, and they need our help. So if everyone can get over their egos or over their comfort levels and come over here and stand up for what's right and understand that we're dealing with people who have gone through over 500 years of oppression and have a lot of healing to do as well, and they need our support, and they need to understand that when we come around them that we can support them, and we're not judging them and who they are or any of those things, you know, we're going to get lessons. There's going to be teachings, you know. People are opening up. All different types of elders are here and opening up to different people, and there is connectivity happening. And, if you know, there is no Native exclusivity here, but there is a majority of Native people here. So if you've never dealt with that type of community, you might take things personally that are, even within the Native community, they would know not to take personal. Because you have to have, you know, you kind of, it's not about ego here. It's not about ourselves. It's about what we're doing.
Right.
So it's unfortunate that that particular person had a bad experience, but, you know, there's it's a hardcore place. We're in a war zone. We are in a war zone. If you don't want to be in a tumultuous situation, you can't come to a war. You know, this is what we're facing. I mean, the war machine is in action, and there are many people that are out there who are trying to learn how to deal with all the emotions that are coming up because of this. It's an extremely frustrating and angering situation. I never thought – I watched some of the live feeds before I got here of people yelling at the DAPL security, yelling at the police officers. And I didn't understand it, and I thought, oh, wow, that's kind of intense. And not until I got here and I saw it myself did I understand what was going on and how it makes you feel to be literally in a war zone watching people getting pepper sprayed, watching people getting hit, watching the officers laughing and smirking at each other. It's enraging. It's absolutely enraging.
Right.
And I think that if you're not going to get mad at that, I feel like there's something wrong with you.
Well, folks, I think the time has come where we need to unite as a nation and stop this oppression one way or another. If you can make it up to North Dakota, to Standing Rock, make it. For God's sakes, we need people to get up there. Apparently, it's really out of hand. People are getting pepper sprayed. They're arresting people by the hundreds. It's good to see G4S. Are they still up there with the dogs? Are they still letting the dogs off on people, biting pregnant women and all this type of stuff still? What is it, G4S? Folks, G4S is the same security company that Omar Mateen, Orlando nightclub shooter, worked for. So they are hiring some shady people. Are they still up there with their dogs and their pepper spray?
I don't know who they're hiring in terms of their security, but the dogs haven't been here since in September. And so that was early September that those incidents happened. Where we're at this point right now, basically, last week, it was last weekend, the camp had erected a new camp that was basically in the pathway of the pipeline. Once after Indigenous Peoples Day occurred, which is, you know, Columbus Day at the same time, basically, I guess, for those who celebrate that, they had taken off the band of the halt that Obama had, and they had also basically issued an emergency warning to the protectors stating that they were considered an imminent threat to the state. From that point forward, they began full force doing the pipeline. Okay, and then last weekend, the camp had erected a new camp, which was called many different things, like the Front Lines Camp, Ground Zero, and they created a camp with a bunch of teepees. They had a sweat lodge there, and many other tents, and people were staying at that camp to basically be directly in the line of the pipeline. So it was right on the path of where they're trying to build the pipeline. And now that was our direct action space, because they had basically built the pipeline all up into that space. Now what happened on Thursday with this incident was that we were completely pushed out of that area. There were no dogs there, but there was pretty much every other type of weaponry being used. And so we were completely pushed out of that camp, and now they have a new barricade. So we are not even able to access that area and do any more direct action. So we're not really sure what's going to happen at this point. They're basically working right now on the pipeline, and they're only 2 miles away from the Missouri River. So if we are going to stop the pipeline, we need the United Nations. We need other agencies to get involved. We need some type of miracle to occur at some point. You know, Obama made a bunch of promises, not only recently saying that he was going to stop the pipeline, but also here on the Standing Rock Reservation in 2004, that he was going to support the youth in this community, and he's basically completely dropped the ball and turned his head, and now he's supporting Hillary Clinton for her, you know, candidate as a, you know, for president, and it's really disturbing because neither one of these new presidents, you know, or new elected candidates are, I'm kind of getting a little frustrated right now, but neither one of these proposed candidates are talking about this issue. And neither one of them are talking about Standing Rock. There was two young ladies that went to the headquarters in New York to give her a letter about Standing Rock and ask for her to make a statement about it. And these two little girls who are Native were not even able to give the letter to her staff. Nobody would take it. And they had to stay there in her office and try and continue to persuade them to take their letter. And finally she did take it. But again, no response. So we're
right.
Really concerned at this point as who's running the country, because it's basically, you know, it's corporations. It's corporations that are taking over this planet. And I think it's really courageous that these people are standing up to stand up for the earth and stand up for what's right, which is just to have clean drinking water. This is what they want.
Yep.
And we're being treated like we have weapons. We're being treated like we're, you know, a militarized force out here when nobody has weapons. It's a prayer camp. There's prayers going on continuously. That's all we are doing, that we're not, there's no violence being enacted on behalf of the water protectors. And we're being treated with tanks and military, you know, the militarized police force that's coming here. And it's just, it's insane. It is insane. But they are basically the hired security of the pipeline company.
And that's what's disgusting about the whole thing is that was back in September with the dogs, and I'm watching the video, and I'm like, how are these people not getting arrested? They're not law enforcement. They're not allowed to assault people like that, even on private property. You're not allowed to do that to people, even if it's their property. Even if you go to somebody's house, you knock on the door, they can't come out and punch you in the face. It's against the law. These are civilian people that are security guards. They're glorified law enforcement. I mean, glorified security. They have dogs and pepper spray. They're nothing. They should be all locked up and thrown in prison for them attacks. But they're not.
Yes, from what I From what I understand, they're breaking international human rights laws every single day that they've been out here doing that. Yes.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. BJ, did you hear that? What she said is it seems like they would be open and welcome to many folks coming up and standing. It would have to be a big force all at once. Everybody go there. If you can make it go down, what do you think?
You know, that's what I was looking for. I wasn't making accusations. I was just looking for certification as to what was going on out there. You know, Rocky is a good lady, and so when she came back and said that, obviously it was a little bit concerning. So that's good. I appreciate the clarification that came across there. You know, we got to do what we got to do to get some protection of the people out there. We're watching abuses and we're watching people sit there and take it. And at some point, enough's got to be enough. I don't know if standing there with 1,000 or 10,000 or a million people is enough. Are they going to continue to escalate the issue at that point? We don't know. But the call to get people out there is absolutely what is needed. And people coming together and just being unified. It doesn't matter what color your skin is, what nationality you are, what country that you're from. You know, when abuses are being made against people, just people, that's what we all are, we all need to show up and we all need to stand up and put an end to that stuff.
Especially when it's the government that's doing the abuses. Selena, is there any sites where people can donate jackets, food, water, whatever the case may be, some kind of support group that people can join to help to get, you know, try to do whatever they can help, do to help?
Well, what they do need in camp right now is, because they're in the process of winterizing, they need army tents or they need heavy canvas tents at camp. There has been a lot of other different types of support that have come, in terms of food and clothing, and there's plenty of jackets and plenty of blankets and all types of different things that have come. But what we need now is, because of the weather is slowly dropping, I believe it gets to be below 30 degrees out here over the winter, and they need some support in terms of new types of housing. So there's plenty of there's a lot of army tents that are going up right now in camp, but we need more. There are still people that are in these summer tents, and I mean it's absolutely cold, you know, out here. I'm not used to North Dakota winter, and this is only, we're just getting started. You know, this is only just getting into November, and usually they say in North Dakota this time of year it already snows, and it hasn't snowed yet. So I think we're kind of getting a little lucky in that way, that it's not as cold here as it could be normally, but we definitely need, so if there's bands of people that want to come together and you know, kind of connect with different communities and do funds together and try to get some of these army tents out here, you know, I guarantee you drive up with an army tent and you want to help the people here, you're going to be embraced with, you know, arms wide open, because it's really what everybody needs. And I know that it does maybe seem to be a little intimidating for other different people to come in here, but it's so powerful what's going on here. Even if you came for a few days and brought some supplies and just dropped them off, you know, there's going to be big blessings that come into your life. It's so powerful what's happening there on a collective level. It's really disheartening what's going on with the company, with the oil company, and the way that they're treating the people is absolutely unacceptable. But the resiliency of the people that are here and the connectivity that's happening, and the people that are coming together from all over the world to support one another, these are networks and community building that, you know, that is priceless. It's absolutely priceless. And so I can't support enough people coming out here, even just for a weekend, and bringing some supplies or coming and seeing what might be needed, and just making it out this way. The prayers here are so beautiful. They're constantly singing and drumming going around and ceremony happening. And if you've never experienced that in your life, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. This is history in the making that's happening. And I would urge you to come out and to be curious and to come with a humble heart and to have compassion for what all the people that are going through out here. And, you know, maybe there is something you can contribute. Maybe you're a good organizer, or maybe you can help with the infrastructure, or maybe you can help with something, and, you know, just tread lightly and be respectful for all the people that are here. And the new energy, we really need new energy out here, because people have been out here dealing with the weather, dealing with the cold, dealing with their family getting arrested, dealing with their family getting abused. And it's bringing up a lot of historical trauma for a lot of people that are up here. So we want to be sensitive, but at the same time, you know, you got a good heart and you want to come out here, I would encourage you to do that. And, you know, I really hope that whatever that story was with the other woman that you're speaking of, that comes around full circle, and there's forgiveness in her heart, too, for whatever she might have experienced, because we all make mistakes. This is an unusual situation, and it's stressful. It's very, very stressful. And so, you know, maybe she had a situation where something went, you know, kind of awry for her, and I pray for her, and I pray that her heart, you know, is okay, and that she appreciates the kind of person that she is and what she was trying to do here, and can also find the forgiveness for whatever she, you know, she ran up against. But again, we have to keep moving together collectively. This is a healing. This is all about community, and you know, this is a call around the world for support. So there is no you know, exclusivity to any one group to be out here. We need everybody.
So then the best way to get stuff out there to help you guys is to load up a trunk and drive out there with your friends and stand with the folks there on the front lines of this horrible situation that's unfolding. But for some time now, it's been unfolding for a long time. It's just now getting really popular now, like you said, trending. So that's the best way, just to come out to the Standing Rock Reservation and bring some military-style tents and sleeping bags and things like that.
Yeah, I would say that. I came from California. It took me 24 hours. I drove straight and made it out here. It is a bit of a haul, but if you've never been out to the Great Plains, this is very sacred land out here. The land that we're protecting out here, there's lots of stories. This is Sitting Bull's people out here. There's really powerful energy and powerful medicine out here, and beautiful prayers that are going on out here. So, you know, it's just going to bless your life to come out here and support the people out here. Anyone that comes out and does that, I could only imagine blessings coming into your life for having the, you know, the courage to come out here right now.
Amen. Selena, I want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing what's happening out there for real. Letting folks know what they can do to help is very important, and filling folks in on abuse. Now, folks, this abuse is happening everywhere. There is militarized police forces, and I say all the time on my show, if you give these police forces weapons of war and no war, they're going to make war. And that's what we're seeing right now. They got testing out their stuff on these poor people up there who just want to protect the water. For 26 million people, and the water that waters your cornflakes, the corn for your cornflakes, and the wheat for your bread, and the barley for your beer. I mean, these people, this water is very important to this whole country, and it affects each and every one of us, and they are doing a great thing. I want to please thank the folks. When you talk to people, tell them Patriot Nation Radio thanks them for their efforts and everything that they're doing up there in Standing Rock.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your time and just for your perspective and for sharing the message.
You got it. And be safe. Please be safe. And, you know, shoot me a message. Keep me posted. Maybe we can get you to come on with updates once in a while if you don't mind and tell folks where we're at and where we're standing. That'd be awesome.
Okay, great. Thank you. I will.
Thank you, Selena. BJ, what's happening, man?
Hey, that, you know, that's something that everybody needs to be paying attention to. No matter where you stand on it, abuse is abuse, and you know, we got to get that under control.
Yes, indeed. I want to thank you, brother, for coming on and spending some time with us and giving a little clarity on what happened with David and Ammon in the courtroom and helping us understand how these two situations, the Malheur Wildlife Refuge situation and the Standing Rock situation, run parallel, as the MO of the Fed is almost identical, putting people out there as the groups that are protesting, harassing people, doing illegal activities, trying to make it look bad to the rest of the world that these guys are tyrants and they're evil and they're hurting people, and meanwhile they're peaceful protesters praying and holding vigils. Now, they did the same thing at the Wildlife Refuge in Oregon. They did the same thing at the Bundy Ranch. They did the same type of stuff at the Sugar Pine Mine and all these other places where these abuses are taking place. It's just prayerful people coming together, making a stand for what's right, not for money, not for corporate greed, but for what's right for the people and what's right for the country and the land and just the way of life that we enjoy here in this country. We just have to be careful.
You're hitting the nail on the head. You know, the similarities are unbelievably uncanny. I said 2 months ago, I said this is Burns, Oregon happening all over again. You know,
in a much grander scale, I believe this is way bigger than Burns, Oregon, though, because we had, what, 26 main guys out there at Burns, Oregon, and people coming and going the whole time. Out here, I think a couple of weeks ago, they had 4,000 Native Americans out there. We could never amass a force of 4,000 people because we all go to work every day, and you know, and a lot of us are living check to check. I couldn't imagine what some of the folks up there at Standing Rock are going through, weeks and weeks standing out there. How are they eating? How they're taking care of their families? Like it's seriously commendable.
Yep, I mean 41 days in Oregon. That thing's been going on for quite a while. You know. The one big difference that I would like to point out, and I hope that you know this helps out, is in Oregon, the protesters weren't abused, and there's a very simple reason as to why that is, and that's because they were armed. An armed population is a polite population, and hopefully at some point the people up there at Standing Rock will take the opportunity to defend themselves, and I think when they defend themselves. And give the impression that they're defending themselves, the abuses will scale down. I understand what they're trying to do. I very much understand. I've talked with a lot of people about this. But at some point, the abuse has got to stop. The abuses are continuing, and so is a pipeline. So, you know, we all know what the definition of insanity is. It's doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. So at some point, you know, it's going to take them defending themselves to really put an end to this abuse.
There you have it. Folks, I want to thank each and every one of you guys for tuning in tonight. This was a very special episode. We got a lot of great information out. DJ, again, thanks for coming on. Selena, thank you so much for coming on. And I'm going to bail out here. I'm going to leave you with this song. This is one of my favorite songs, because it really does have a deep meaning. This is Dave Bray, a cappella, doing the Star Spangled Banner out in Pittsburgh. Folks, good night. God bless America and God bless you. Thank you, folks, for coming on tonight and sharing your stories. Here we go.
That's what I'm talking about. We're going to sing it together. Are you ready? Come on, Pittsburgh. Are you ready?
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. Or the